The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Nativity is taken from that of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. So we too, when we were children, were enslaved under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that he is no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir also through God. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were marveling at the things spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be contradicted. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood, and by herself as a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple with fastings and prayers, worshiping night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give praise to the Lord, and spoke of him to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. And when they had fulfilled all things prescribed by the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus are the words of today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On Christmas Day, on the feast of Christmas, this past Wednesday, we considered a new beginning, the beginning of Christ's life on this earth. Then, the very next day, this past Thursday, we considered an episode that took place to begin another period of time. And that new time was the very infancy of the church, the beginning of the church. And the event was the first martyrdom of a Christian, St. Stephen. And in a way, it seems perplexing to us. The very day after we remember the peaceful scene of Christ's birth, we are thrust into the bloody tragedy of St. Stephen's martyrdom. The contradiction, it seems, couldn't be starker. The silence, the order, the simplicity, the peace of Bethlehem versus the drama, the chaos, the deceit, the wiles, and finally the stoning of St. Stephen. But in reality, the apparent contradiction is overcome when we consider the purpose of Christ's coming into this world and how St. Stephen imitates what we see from Christ in the manger. Christ comes, of course, in a humble way, and he does this out of love for us, humbly, out of love for us. The Almighty God comes down as a helpless infant, and rather than attract the attention of the world to his coming, he chooses a very select few to reveal himself to. There's the shepherds, the poor humble shepherds, and then there's also the Magi. His coming is very simple, almost hidden. In that first morning of his earthly life, the Christ child appears to be just like any other newborn child. The most extraordinary circumstance that a passerby would probably observe is simply the stark poverty of the circumstances around his birth. He came very meekly into the world. Why did he choose to be born in such a humble way? Because he loves us, and because of this love for us, he desires to teach us, to show us the way. He says, learn of me. So Christ chose to be born in humble and poor circumstances so that mankind, so that we could learn to overcome pride and earthly affections. The infant Jesus gives us his example and says, "Learn from me." He does the same in today's gospel when Mary and Joseph take him into the temple to be presented to his Father, to God. He was above the law, and so he did not have to do this, but he chose to do so so that we could see and follow his own actions, that obedience which he gave to the law, something we should also give to God and to his holy church. Our Lord's power is in his meekness. And how does he conquer? He will conquer through his love. We saw this process beginning on Christmas, and we see the very next day Saint Stephen begin to imitate this already in the liturgical year. He does so, he imitates Christ's meekness out of love for God and out of love for his neighbor. Saint Stephen does. Now, who is Saint Stephen? We remember that he was one of the seven deacons who the 12 apostles handpicked to take care of the material goods which the early Christians had, and to dispense of them to all people who needed them, especially to the Gentiles, in an equal and in a fair way. It was a humble and it was a meek role to have, in a certain sense, to serve the people, to serve the faithful. And in the Acts of the Apostles, he was called a man of faith and a man of the Holy Ghost. And if we read the account of Saint Stephen, it says this: "And Stephen did great wonders and signs among the people. Now there rose some disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit that spoke. Now hearing these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed with their teeth at him." And it continues saying, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' And they, crying out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and with one accord ran violently upon him. And casting him forth without the city, they stoned him. And he, invoking, said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling on his knees, he cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Lord, lay not this sin upon them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep in the Lord." We can imagine, to lose one of these seven deacons so early in the life of the church would have been a devastating blow. He was the very first Christian to die for the faith, to die for Christ, to shed his blood for the same thing which our Lord shed his blood for, in a way. And so the early Christians must have felt a heavy blow with the loss of the beloved Saint Stephen. But we see that Saint Stephen imitated the infant Jesus in his life, first by his meekness, serving the Christians at the tables and teaching Christians and non-Christians alike about God. This is why he caused the anger and the hatred to come up in the Jews, because of his desire to teach them of God. But then there was one other small part of the story of Saint Stephen, which I wanted to focus on a little bit now, and that is the line that says that the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus, of course, he was one of the bitterest enemies of Christ's church. And he aided in the murder of Saint Stephen. He aided in his martyrdom. But what were Saint Stephen's words, really, which were directed towards him? He says, "Lord, lay not this sin to his charge." He forgives Saul of Tarsus, the bitter enemy of his own. And then shortly after this episode, we know what Saul does. He sets out on a journey to Damascus in order to hunt out Christians. But on his way there, he sees a vision in which Christ reveals himself to him, and Saul converts. He has a changing of his heart. Now, From the sermon of Saint Saint Fulgentius, who was a bishop, we read about what he says about Saint Stephen. And there's one word which continues to come up in it, is love. He says, "The love of God strengthened him against the cruelty of the Jews, and the love of neighbor made him pray even for his murderers. Through love, he rebuked the wandering, that they might be corrected. Through love, he prayed for them that stoned him, that they might not be punished. By the might of his love, he overcame Saul, his cruel persecutor, and earned for a comrade in heaven the very man who had done him to death on earth." John Henry Newman asks, had Saint Stephen shrunk from the trial put before him by God, and had he recanted in front of Saul and of those other Jews, the other Sanhedrin, in order to save his own life, if he had defected from the faith, how damaging would this defection have been to the infant church? Newman even wonders if the cause of the gospel would have been lost, possibly, in a human way. And we know, of course, that this is not going to happen, but he's trying to show how important Saul's example was. We can only suspect how important the role truly was in the conversion of Saul. We don't really know, but we can suspect. And to the human eye, when we see St. Stephen's life, it seems to be a life of failure. His ambitions, his goals to spread the faith are stopped by those who kill him. They want his message to end, and so they kill him, and with him dead, they assume that the message will die too. But like Christ in the manger, Stephen used the power of meekness and love to conquer. Saul was converted on his way to Damascus. And then, what did he do? He spent the rest of his life establishing churches and converting innumerable souls. This one soul, affected by the example of Saint Stephen, then, in turn, affected the lives of so many others. Saint Stephen's faithfulness to Christ had far-reaching effects that he could not have even imagined at the time. And the same may be true for us and for our actions as well. If we shrink from our responsibilities to God, to our family, to our country, to our neighbors, how far-reaching might these actions or these omissions be for all eternity? But if we can contribute to bringing even one single soul to Christ, is there any limit to the sacrifices and the prayers that we should be willing to do for that one soul? The formula was laid out for us by Christ on Christmas morning, and the same formula was used by Saint Stephen: meekness and love. And this is the same formula which will work for us as well. And so let us make sure that we ask God to give us this humility, this meekness, and also this charity, which are the true means for us to conquer the enemies and to bring all to Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.